Well, I told you last week we're going into a season in ministry training about repentance, going to deeper levels of repentance, and something that's been on my heart for a while. And I think it's going to just be powerful, because I think it's part of our last step of preparation. In last step, I don't know how long that means it'll take, but I just think that God's going to take us to a freedom beyond what we've known before. He's going to, those things that we say, I can't change, I can't get over, I can't do, I think we're going to finally see breakthrough and get some freedom in those areas of our life, because it's a time where God needs to be able to live more powerfully in us. And we talked about it last week. I'm going to bring an introduction to it that God gave me that's really awesome to understand the levels of repentance this morning. Wednesday night, we're going to be starting like we did our flashlight classes, where we just want to come together. On Wednesday nights, when our ministry team and anybody that wants to be a part of it, come on Wednesday nights. We're going to be taking that to a place where, if you come Wednesday night, what we're asking is that you're ready to be open, to be real, to be vulnerable, to pray for one another, to love one another while we go through allowing God to do some exposing and some deliverances. So we did that when we went through the flashlight meetings, exposing pride. And it's not that the pride is all gone, but we have an awareness of pride in a new way now, to where we recognize his tricks and where we have the weaponry we need to battle pride when he does attack. So it's given us some advantage in that battle. And that's the same thing this repentance level is going to do. So please plan to come on Wednesday nights as we go through it. But today we're going to kick it off. And I was just in so much prayer about this, because God's been doing it in my life, and I was in so much prayer about it. And I just felt so full, I had to just pour out. And God had just asked me, would I be willing to preach what he wanted me to preach and write what he wanted me to write? And he said, well, why don't you just pour out? And I did. I just started pouring out, and it turned into this message. And then after a while, I said, well, God, that's what I have to say. And he said, that's what I have to say too. So let's say it. First place we're going to be going is 2 Corinthians 7:9. Starting off with this repentance toward God, repentance is desperately needed in our country. And it's desperately needed in the churches, you know, because the churches have compromised that word. They've made it and said that it meant all kinds of things that it doesn't mean. So we need to find out what it means. And it's not just the lost sinners that need to repent. Christians need to repent. Amen. We have all kinds of things we need to repent of. You know, when the Bible says, as you have received him, so walk ye in him, the exact same way we got saved is the way we live every day of our life, which includes repentance toward God and faith in Christ, again and again, taken to every issue of our life. So in order to do that, we need to understand what repentance means, as God reveals what he meant by that word, not just what the dictionary says that it means. And then we need the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish repentance in our own life. This is where, like if you're dealing with negativity in your thinking, that's something I've dealt with a lot. Like people, when you see people that don't serve God, don't love God, and you judge them, and I could tell God over and over and over, I don't want to judge them. You said don't judge them, but I still don't get why they do that, you know, if they say they're a Christian. And I couldn't help what I was thinking. And you can say it over and over and over, but you can't control anger. You can't control hate. You can't control disliking your enemies. There's some things you just can't control until God does something that's a miracle down inside of you that changes that. And then you own it.
Control.
You can't change it. Yeah, well, you might control it with behavior control. You can't stop feeling it. Exactly. Repentance goes further than just guilt or sorrow. It's more than just crying. It's deeper than the selfish desire that I want to be a better person. It's all being all about me. But it's a miracle. It affects our mind, it affects our emotion, and it will affect our actions from that point on in our life. So let's read the verses here. 2 Corinthians 7:9. Now I rejoice that you were made sorry, but you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. Verse 11. For behold, this selfsame thing, that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourself. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things you have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. Now that is effective repentance. That is third level deep repentance. We're going to talk about those levels. But when you get down to that level, you aren't just sorry you got caught. You don't just wish you'd do better and you're sick of yourself, but you're going to be so much more careful about what you say and do, because you actually, when you get that deeper level of repentance, you see the devil in it. You see the devil in it. You see the slimy, filthy fingers of that devil who's touching your mind and your heart, and you can't stand the thought of him touching you in that way again. And you're very, very careful. And you're clear that you are truly and truly wanting your freedom from this thing, not just to be rid of the guilt, but to be rid of the actual invasion into your life of it. There's a fear, like, God, I realize how weak I am, and I'm so afraid. I don't want to do that again. I never want to fall in that way again. And that's part of the vehement desire. And the revenge, look at 2 Corinthians 10:4-6. I'm going to have somebody else read it because I didn't look it up, and I'm the slowest person in the room at finding something, even with an iPad. So I'm just going to go over, stand by Harvey, and let him read that one. And you might want to add that verse right there. I leave spaces between paragraphs. I like to leave spaces so that you can write your own notes in there. You can put these extra verses in. You probably come up with stuff I don't even think of, and you can write that in there.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled.
I love that last thought. Revenging. It's like revenge against the devil when we have disobeyed God by doing what the devil wanted, like lose your temper, tell somebody off. And then you go, I wish I wouldn't have done that. So you have a disobedience to God that you have wounded somebody and told them off and blown up and lost your temper. And you know that's against God. But now the way to get revenge on that is the next time obey what God wants you to do.
Exactly.
So that obedience is actually a vengeance against the devil. You know, it's a war that we're in for who gets to live in us, who gets to control us. And I know you already know something that you need this deeper repentance. There's something in your life that you struggle with, and you do it again and again and again and again, and you don't seem to get victory on that issue. Well, that's the thing. That's the next thing that you could bring into this and find finally that you win, that you conquer it. So these degrees, these levels of repentance, this, we want to go to this deep and this powerful repentance that will change more than just a determination to behave better. It will change our heart and our mind and alter our life. So there are life-changing levels and degrees that will take us to what we imagined we couldn't do. And I really believe we're entering a season where God is getting ready to do this for us and for himself.
Amen.
So I'm going to, part of the reason that we're entering that season is because what God is getting ready to do, if he's going to cover this world in the glory of God, and the glory is his character, it's who he is, It's everything about who he is. And it's going to shine through his people. It can't do that if we don't let God take us deeper in repentance, if we walk in oneness with him and let him shine through us. Page 2. Words have power. That is something that we seem to continually repent about, as words that just jump out of our mouth and get away from us, right? We can all stand to go to a deeper repentance in the way that we speak to people. So I want to do some example. I did some of this with a ladies' meeting, but Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Well, I would like not to just be sucking on lemons all day long, you know, with the sour words I speak. That's not the fruit I love to eat. So I want to think about a woman. We take a woman this time because you all think they talk more than you. However, our life is not true. But let's just say this woman is a godly woman, and she remembers that she spoke some harsh words to a sister, to a friend, and she feels really bad about it. Maybe even to her own children, said some things that were mean, or her husband, and she feels really bad about it. She's truly sorry that she did it. And we're going to talk about level 1 repentance right here, where she doesn't want to be that kind of person. She wants to be a good Christian. She doesn't want to say harsh things to people. And this is a level 1 repentance in our Christian life, and it's good. It's a good level. When we want to be a better person, we want to be more like Christ. We don't want to be guilty of saying bad things to other people. We don't want to keep losing our temper. We don't want to keep judging. I want to be a better Christian. And that's a good level of repentance. And we're truly sorry if we did something. But realize the focus is mostly on me wanting to be a better person. That is level 1 repentance. Okay, so she, down at the bottom last couple of paragraphs, she knows the scriptures about mercy. So she begins to confess, and she's truly sorry, and she's going to hold on to this decision to speak better words. And, of course, that's the thing that doesn't work so well. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is a good level, but we also know that we've been at that level, and it isn't long until we do the same thing again. And then we repent again. And that's why his mercy is new every day. We get to repent again and again and again. But God wants to go deeper. So page 2. Go to the second chapter. So then one day, the Spirit of the Lord takes her repentance deeper. He opens her eyes to see the effect of her words on the victim of her words and her harshness. Now her heart is gripped with sorrow for them. Level 2 repentance is about others. I already own that I want to be better. Now I own that I don't want to hurt others. It becomes about them. That's a second level, and that is really awesome. When you're not so selfish that it's only you, but now you truly care about the person you wounded, this is where you really want to go to them and restore them and begin to pray for them. And this is the second level, and it's awesome. It's a good level. So let's look at those verses, Philippians 2:2-5. Fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, again, we're thinking about the word, so let's just take parenting, because parenting is the words of parents are just so powerful into their children. Children tend to believe what you're saying. And if you're always telling them they're a brat, they're a little monster, they never do right, why did you do that again? Those words go right inside their little heart and their mind, and they say, what is wrong with me? Why can't I do anything right? I'm just a brat. They're going to believe what you speak to them, what you say to them. So those words on a child are extremely, extremely powerful. And you know, the funny thing is, that's not really what you think of your child. It's just how you feel in that moment because you're upset. I used to say, my mother tells everybody else, she used to tell everybody else wonderful things about me. And I would say, why doesn't she say any of them to me? All she says to me is, I can't believe you did that again. Why do you do that? What is wrong with you? And I went, wow, her friends tell me she talks good about me. Why didn't she talk good to me, you know? And later, of course, she did. But when we're little and we're getting on their nerves and we're breaking everything and sneaking into stuff and telling lies and fighting, it's frustrating. But those words go deep into those children. So it can bring spiritual death to them. So this woman now was ready to go far beyond her own guilt, her own consequences, even just her own mercy and forgiveness. And now it's purely a concern for those that she hurt. And that is an awesome, awesome level. Well, we got the little man with a shovel there. Now, you see the word Shutterstock on your little pictures? That's because I was waiting for my licensing to be approved. And now I can remove all those Shutterstock words because I own the pictures. So, sorry, I didn't want to reprint your whole lesson, but that's why they all say Shutterstock. I chose them, but I didn't own them yet. I now own my pictures. So on this deeper level, level three, repentance becomes toward God. Now, when Jesus preached, he preached repentance toward God. Level three repentance is focused on God, not on me, not on the one I hurt. Now I'm focusing my repentance toward God. And this can take us so, so deep. This can take us to the purity that we crave. When the Lord awakens our spirit to recognize this enemy who is separating us from God as we let him use something in our life, then we reach this perfecting level when it becomes toward God. I love the word perfecting because what it means is to be complete. Perfect means complete. Nobody is complete until God lives inside of them. He completes us. So this is the level that takes us into the completion of us in unity and oneness with God. So this is really awesome. In that place of repentance, there's one goal, and that is to connect with God, to please God, a pure relationship of love with him. This is the level where we could go back to the verse, and we see that we now hate, we despise that sin. We're zealous about getting rid of it. We're desperate to get rid of it because we have seen how it hurts God in our relationship. Go to the next page. So that's the degree and the depth of repentance God wants to take us to now when we start these repentance meetings. Something inside of us is going to change. We're going to be brought to this highest, deepest motive to conquer these issues in our life. It's going to open our eyes to the depth of the evil and the filth of our enemy, and it's going to create this hungering and craving desire to be free from his influence in that area of our life. So this level will instill a deeper hunger for God's ways in his presence. And we're going to be just craving our own freedom. It's not going to be about I feel guilty. It's not going to be about I hurt somebody. It's going to be about I want to connect with God, and this area has to be taken care of so that I can. Amen. This is deep. It's permanent. It's life-changing, and it's going to take practice. It's going to take revelation. It's going to take God doing a miracle. So I'm not saying when you get there on an issue that you'll never sin again, but I am saying if you do, you will quickly repent because you will hate that that thing touched you again, and there's that vengeance against it. This is the level that sets addicts free. This is the level where drug addicts do get set free. People won't need AA when they are free. They won't have to stand up every week and say, I am an alcoholic, like I have an incurable disease and I am forever an alcoholic. Harvey Hampton doesn't stand up and say, he doesn't have to go to a meeting and say, I am a drug addict, because he's not a drug addict anymore. He got deep repentance on that. He has no desire to do drugs. He is not a drug addict anymore. He's totally free. And you don't have to be an alcoholic anymore. You can be totally set free where God not only breaks the habit, he breaks the desire for the habit, and he totally conquers it. I used to be a tobacco addict. I started smoking at 11 years old to get to hang out with my sister. It was mandatory. You don't smoke, you might tell on me. So you have to smoke. So I started at 11. By the time I was in my 20s, I had smoked 3 packs a day. I was addicted, and I'm an addictive nature. I was way addicted. And there was a process of God taking it away from me. But I quit out of fear. I quit out of pure fear. I had a friend who quit, and 5 years later, she went back because she never got over wanting it. 3 months after I quit, I stopped needing it, craving it. But I could still say that I enjoyed it and would have gone back to it. But years later, when I got the true revelation of what it was doing to my friend, she walked out of churches and missed the best part of a message because she had to go have a cigarette. Her house stunk. Her clothes stunk. She had asthma, and she still was letting it destroy her health. Suddenly God opened my eyes to what it was doing to her. And I got a deep and true deliverance to where I could have God sign me a permission note. You can smoke every day the rest of your life, and I'm okay with it. No, thank you. I don't want it. I truly don't want it in my life. I wouldn't take it back now. When you truly get repentance, you are against that thing. You do not want to touch it. You don't want it to touch you. So this Bible repentance that Jesus preached, this is what we're seeking. You edited this, but there's places that this is together. It still needs some editing. So recap. Level 1, repentance, is about you wanting to do better and be better. Level 2 is about others, not wanting others to be hurt by what you do. Level 3 is purely toward God. It's about coming closer to Him, pleasing Him, and being one with Him. Page 6. So how do we get to this level of repentance? How do we get there? If it's something God has to do, how can we get God to do it? Because we've tried to change, and it hasn't worked. We still keep doing or wanting to do or accidentally doing things. So how do we get this? I think it all starts with our desire. We have to want it. We have to want it for the right reasons, and then we'll begin to seek it, pray for it, and cooperate with God as He leads us through it. A hungry heart is what it takes. God, I see this thing. I hate this thing. It controls me. It owns me. It uses me. And I don't see it the way you do. I am begging you to take me to this true repentance towards you. If we don't have it, we just have to begin to pray and beg for it. Pray that God will awaken your heart and your mind and your spirit to live in hope again. You know what? Some of these very, very things we need to repent of is why we're down and discouraged. It's why we've stopped believing in our dream. It's why we don't think we can do anything anymore. This is just life and I've given up because I can't change. And that's a lie from the devil. This is going to show you that you can and you will change. I like this paragraph. We need to wake up from the coma that the devil is induced with his lies and deceptions and distractions. Because he's dragged God's people into the depth of despair, giving up, or at least complacency. And they lay in that comatose state of living. And they've stopped fighting for their life. They're just being fed like an intravenous feeding through a tube. But the one putting that junk food in the tube is the devil. Give up. You can't survive. Just stay asleep. Just exist. Just do what you're doing. That's not living. And that's not what God has for you. Every promise He made you is true. Who you are and who He said you are is true. Why are you sitting around in defeat if you believe who God said you are and what He's going to do with your life? You know, I see people getting so tired at their day job. But you know what? That's not your career. That's your temporary employment. What God has put you here to do is your permanent employment. That's the real call in your life. That's your real job. And we need to live as though that's why we're here. That's my goal. That's why I function. That's why I glaze tubs. That's why I go to work and earn money. That's why I pay the rent, just so that I'm here to do what God is going to do in my life and get ready to do that. You're getting ready to change employment, but you got to keep believing it and preparing for it. Sometimes I feel like Paul when he said to the Galatians, "Who hath deceived you? Who has deceived you from what God said to you? We know who deceived us. When you first heard God tell you who you are and what he wants to do through your life, you got so excited. If I were to tell you right now, okay, God's going to heal everything in your body that hurts today, right now, right this. I mean, these are the hype meetings that went on 25 years ago. And they said, right now, right here, you want healing, come and get it. We went forward and we got it. Right that minute. If I said that right now, every person in this room would have something you want to be healed of. We've all got aches and pains. And if I said God is going to heal all of them right now, you'd come up here. But when I say he's going to do it, but not today, you go, then I'm not even going to ask for it. I'm not even going to come and get it because I have to wait for it. But it's still true. Just because right. We have to wait for things doesn't make them less true.
Right.
Everything he said is still true.
Exactly.
And he's testing our faith in believing him above what we're going through and seeing right now. This, just write this in there before you finish that page, Romans 5:2. Because Romans 5:2, go ahead and look it up and I'll have you read it in a minute. Romans 5:2 said that the only way we're going to access the grace of God is through faith. That's how we access the divine influence of God in our life and all the power of God to flow through our life to us and through us. The only way to get that is through faith. And faith isn't faith if it isn't tested. You don't have any faith if it doesn't survive the test. So in other words, God came here 20 years ago. I'm just speaking for us. 25, 20 years ago. Maybe it's 27. I don't know. Whatever. We're going down to Canada to that great move of God. And words were spoken over us in Flint, Michigan, that said, you are going to train ministers. You're going to train them and fires are going to spread throughout, starting at Grand Rapids and beyond. And these words that were spoken to us, they're not happening the way we thought they were going to happen. There were powerful things spoken. One of them, one prophecy with it, there would be such long lines of people, every one of them getting healed, that he would have to get a chair and sit down because his legs wore out on him from the lines of people waiting for their turn to be healed as he prayed over them. That's not happening. 25 years later, little bits of healing, little touches. But what we saw in youth renewal isn't happening fully. So do we just go, well, 25 years I've been waiting. I guess I imagined it. You know what? Maybe next year it's going to start happening. You know what's going to happen through? You know who's going to be ministering in power? Only the ones that still believe. Only the ones that didn't let go of their faith. Only the ones who are still in training, available here, saying, I still believe you, I'm still here, give me my words, give me my promises. Because those who quit believing and went somewhere else, he gave away your position. He'll have to give away your position. If you can only access that divine grace by your faith, and your faith will be tested. I don't know how much longer. But if you quit, before we get to that day, he will give away your promise because you walked away from it and quit believing it. And part of your promise was that you had to be trained. So get trained. Just keep getting trained. I know it's long, but we had a whole lot of needs. And there was a timing of when he called you, when he birthed you on this earth, when he told you those things. He knew how long it was going to take to get you ready. And he knew the day. See, it's on a calendar in heaven. The day it's all going to happen. But if you quit on this month and it was going to happen on that month, you're missing it. Don't give up your faith.
Amen.
Did you find that verse for me? Go ahead and read it slowly.
By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
Amen. I probably pretty well preach the next page without reading it. Let's just come next page to Psalm 110:3. Your people shall be willing in the day of your power, in the beauties of holiness. from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. That is one of my claim verses on youth renewal. Jesus has the dew of his youth. Now, people are going to be willing in the day of his power. There's a day of power coming. There's a great move of God coming with power like we've never seen before. And in that day, his people are going to be willing. But guess where those people are going to be? In the beauty of his holiness. They're going to be in the beauty of his holiness, in his presence with him. If they've left and given up, they're not going to be in the beauty of his holiness on that day. So they won't have the power. We need to be with him. How are we going to be standing right in the beauty of his holiness except that we repent of those things that block his holiness?
Right.
So why we need this deep repentance.
Amen.
This is so good, isn't it? So good. Man, God is amazing what he's getting ready to do. So this next part that I recently read verses in Ephesians 1 and 3. If you missed it, you don't have to miss it, okay? I'm not talking to the few who were here that day. I'm talking to anybody who says, I want to be a minister, let me in. I want deep repentance, let me in. I want these promises. Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3 is full of promises for the church. They're not for the lone wolves out there, because a body is a body. And you can't just go out and be God's mouthpiece unless you've got a shoulder to sit on and some feet to carry you where you're going to go, feet and legs. We need the whole body. Christ is moving through his body. He's moving through teams. You know what? If he wasn't moving through teams, it would be like, okay, all I got to do is go get all of this for me and then just go run. But he's moving through his church, through a full functioning body. You got to be in church. You got to be surrendered. You got to be hungry for this. And you got to have your faith revived. And then you just get on the team and start getting ready. And God will do it if you want it. If you want it, it's open to you. We went and we read those promises for the church. Some pretty good things there. Knowing principalities and powers in heavenly places. Knowing the fullness of God. Having resurrection power in your life. And we all claimed one thing, to pray and say, God, do that part in me. Do that part in me. Well, I got thinking the other day, there were a whole lot of things left unclaimed. Nobody claimed them. So why don't you just go read those two chapters and claim the ones you want? Because I already decided when nobody claimed the rest, I'm going to just pick up what was left. Nobody else wanted to pick it up, I'm going to ask for all of it then.
Amen.
I'm just going in and saying, nobody got that one, I'll take it. Nobody wanted that one, I'll take it. Harvey got that one, I want that too, so I'll take double portion of whatever. You know, go on, you jealous of what somebody else got? Claim a double portion of what they got and get more than them. Go ahead. God likes people getting really hungry for everything.
Yeah.
Claim them all. I've seen some answers to those things we've claimed. I've seen some answers. I've already gone in that heavenly realm a few times and had some revelations. And I think this is one of them. This deeper repentance and the power that's going to come with it. I think that's one of those revelations of what God's getting ready to do. Let's go to the last verse down there, because I already said the other stuff anyway. Luke 18:8. I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on earth? Why do you think he had that verse? When he comes, will he find faith on earth? Will he find? He's wanting to come and cover this earth, and he won't do it where he doesn't find faith.
Right.
So if you give up your faith, you won't be in the presence of his holiness on the day of power. He's saying, will I find faith in you when I come? Will you still be holding your promise? Will you still be claiming your spot? Or are you going to give it up? You going to give it up? We need a full functioning body, and I love you guys, but we don't have it right now. We don't have it. We don't have watchmen that are watching in the heavenlies. We don't have anybody preaching but me or teaching anything. We don't, I don't know. If you're interceding for this church, I don't know that. I don't hear it right now. I don't hear anybody telling me, I've been praying for the church, and guess what God showed me or told me about this ministry. I'm not hearing those words. Not hearing them. And I'm grieved. I'm seriously grieved and crying over this body, because we need a whole body. And we need to be functioning. I've been so down because I would bring a message and then I see blank faces. And then I go Sunday night, I'm down. I can't even pray or think on Sunday night. And then Monday, I get up and I'm just grieving and I'm praying and I'm saying, God, what's going to wake us up? What's going to bring us to stand in our places again? What's going to revive life in this body? What's going to happen? And does anybody even care what we're preaching? Do they hear it? Are they owning it? Are they living it? Now, I got some encouragement last week because I was just like rock bottom down over this. And God knew it. And he had some of you text me and call me and talk to me. And a few people told me how that they had taken last week's message home and how God was just powerfully working in them and how they were just loving that word and they were going into those verses and God was just living. And it was really encouraging. It was really. I said, okay, maybe the others are doing it too, but they're not telling me. But you know, I've been tested in another point, and that was, what if you are the only one? What if you're the only one that sees any of this and the only one that believes it? What if you are? Then are you going to stand in what I'm showing you, even if you have to keep preaching it everywhere you go and nobody cares? Because that was my test. Jeremiah never had a convert. Jeremiah never had anybody do anything he gave them. He kept getting thrown in the pit for what he said because they didn't want to hear it. And then the king would bring him up secretly and say, I really need to know what God's got to say. Will you just go ahead and tell me, and I won't punish you this time. And he'd tell the king, and the king didn't like it. So he'd go get somebody to tell him what he wanted to hear. Jeremiah had nobody. He didn't have a wife. He didn't have a family. And he didn't have anybody who did what he preached or saw it or cared. In fact, they hated it so much they just wanted to get rid of him. And he had to stand alone on that. And that's part of our training. What God gives you, you have to say it no matter what the cost. You have to do it no matter who stands with you or who doesn't. And though he's looking for a body, each one in that body, you will stand or you will fall in what he says to you privately. Right. You will stand or fall in your place privately. Right. Whether anybody else stands or not. Whether there's 500 in the room, we were in the building and we had 90 people. We had four watchmen on guard. And they stood in their place and they watched and they fought off demons that came. We had people that wanted to preach when we were on 92nd Street. We had young men going, let me preach. I want to preach. I got a message. But when it comes down to a few people and God isn't doing extreme party time, everybody falling and laughing and getting healed and, you know, those kind of things are not going on. We're just down there at the grind of training where it gets hard and long. We still have to stand in our place and do what he called us to do. We still have to hold on. Exactly. Page 8 says, wake up, because the alarm clock. I have never set an alarm on my phone. But I have an alarm go off every day. Harvey tried to fix it. It still goes off every day. 9 o'clock every morning. I've already been up 4 hours. My alarm goes off. I don't know why it goes off at 9. Nobody ever told it to go off at 9, and I can't stop it. I can't find a way to stop it. But God's alarm clock is ringing, and look at that thing. It's just dancing right off the table there saying, wake up! Wake up. Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. If you want this level of repentance, he's going to give it to you. You have to show him you want it. You have to tell him. And if you don't want it, just tell him, God, I don't even care. I'm complacent. I'm dead. Well, then tell him, God, wake me up from that. Cause me to want it. Stir me. Cause me to want it, because I don't want to get left behind. Amen. It's time for us to fight, and it's time to fight for each other. It's time to fight, not to bite each other, to fight for each other. Romans 3:11. And that knowing the time, and that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Why do you say than when we believed? He's saying, I don't believe it so much anymore. I don't feel it right now. I can't, like, man, when I believed it, I got so excited. I believed it. You know, I used to wake up every morning and run, look in the mirror, see if I was young yet. I did. When I first got the youth renewal promise, every day I woke up and I said, I think I feel younger. And I run and look in the mirror. Do I look younger? Oh, no, I don't think so. But maybe a little. I was expecting it. I had expectation when I believed. I still believe, but my belief got a little sleepy. You know, like someday belief. But he says, now it's closer and it's time to come out of that sleep. It's time to get as excited again as when you first heard it. Get that excited again. Keep your faith alive. Ask God, please stir my faith up. Please say something to me new and fresh to revive me, that I grab on it and get excited again. We buried God in this coffin of our dead lives long enough. He wants to be resurrected. And resurrection life is inside of us. We've got to pull the nails out of that coffin so we can let it come out. Set God free. And that's as simple as just fully believing what he said again. Let him out, because it's a coffin of death. Let's go to the next page. And I'll send out an invitation to God. Dear God, you are invited. Come and do this in me. Come and do it in me. I've experienced this difference and I want more, but I am begging God, take me into true and deep areas of repentance. I know some of them, and there are some I'm not aware of. I want to go to one after another, after another, after another, getting my freedom. This kind of prayer will send out another invitation too. It'll invite the devil to come and attack you some more. Whatever you're claiming, the devil is going to attack it in a fresh new way to put you back in that coffin. As soon as you say, God, I believe that people are going to come back to the church. You know what will happen next week? You'll have less people than ever. Because he wants you to hold on to it and keep claiming it until you see it. And it gets tested. Faith gets tested. We're in a fight. Don't give up just because the devil comes and throws something at you. He comes in and slams you and does the opposite of what God says. God lets him do it to test your faith. You stand up and you keep telling him, I believe what God is saying, and I'm not believing what you're showing me because you're a liar and you're a destroyer and you're trying to take away my faith and I'm not giving it to you. Fight back. Amen. The party crasher always shows up without an invitation. He heard us invite God, so he sneaks in. He intrudes to attack everything to destroy this repentance process. Because he's scared. He is scared of this level of repentance. He knows that it will break his hold in our life. He knows that he's blocking the power of God. And that's going to end if we get a deeper repentance. He's terrified of it. But even more, he's afraid of what happens when we get free. And the powerful thing when God starts to spread through a church like this. You know, we just might see that great move of God break out here if we do this. Page 10, we all fall down, but we can get back up. I don't need to go through this because I already shared this with you. And you may think my life is easier than yours. It's not. It's not. I come under attack every day of my life. It is harder because if God puts you in a position of leadership, the devil attacks you twice as hard. So, yeah. But we will be stronger if we'll stay together. Just go down to Proverbs 24:16. For a just man falls 7 times and rises up again, but the wicked will fall into mischief. So everybody falls. Everybody falls. We get back up or we go follow him into mischief. 11. The most awesome and powerful promise in Scripture are not just for one. They're for the body, for the church. Remember last week, one of the first verses he gave me was, study bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Because woman was taken out of the very bone of man. The bone is where blood is created. The bone holds the structure of a body. And the church is taken from within Christ. Like a wife, like a bone, she's the bride. And the church is the structure, the body. The church is the source of creating the blood of Christ, offering the blood and the mercy. He wants teams. He wants us in unity. He wants us to function together. I know that God is coming to look for a strong team of trained, prepared people. And I believe we're in the final hours of that training. So it's getting tougher. And you know, the Bible says something about the falling away in the last days. It doesn't say it that way because I couldn't find it that way. You know, I put things in my own words, then I don't know the words to find it. But a falling away, as we get near the last days, more and more people are falling away. And when I see that, I grieve because, look, we've watched people fall away from this church, one after another, until there's only us left, this few of us. When the enemy attacks, it's easy for us to say, was this my fault? What did I do something wrong? And you know what? That's just how the enemy sneaks in, with the failure, with the depression. That's how he attacks us. I already shared a lot of this with you, so I'm just gonna move on to the next page. But I've made some decisions that no matter what I see or think or feel, I am not into depression because God is not into depression. I'm not gonna feel hopeless because God never. So if I'm feeling depressed and hopeless, it's not God who's doing that to me. I want to be with him, and he's never like that. He's not displeased with me either. He's never impatient with me. God is going to win. He's going to win, and he's going to have a team, and he's going to have a church, and he's going to have powerful people who have gone through all these years of preparation, and they're ready. He's going to have it. And I want to be in that number. I want to be one of them. So he's looking for a team. So we need to pick up our faith. We need to come together and pray for each other. We need to go to this level of repentance and get our freedom. Romans 12:5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. And that's the key. A body is connected. A hand can't do anything without an arm to lift it. And an arm can't do anything if it's not attached to a body to lift it. And even if you have all knowledge and you're a good speaker and you can't go anywhere without legs and feet, it has to be connected in unity. Last page. Valley of decision. It's not going to be my fault if you miss out on the next move of God. And it's not going to be God's fault. If you miss out, it will be your choice. Because the choices we make today will determine our tomorrows. You can't wait until you see power. You can't wait till you see proof. You can't wait till you think you're ready or the rest of us are ready. You can't wait. You have to choose right now. Prepare right now. Prioritize this calling in your life above everything else in your life. Don't work 6 days a week if you can't get to church on Sunday. Tell them no. I don't think they can legally force anybody beyond 40 hours or force that 6 day. If it costs you your job, God will provide. Or just pray for the strength to go to church anyway, even if you did work 6 days. Be available. Don't get so discouraged that you think that thing you do all day, every day is your life. It's not. Prioritize being with God. And we told our kids, our boys, when they were growing up, you're not working Wednesday night, and you're not working on Sunday, period. But, Mom, The only job available is a restaurant, and they won't hire me. We said, then that's not where you're going to work. Well, then we won't have money, because then you won't have money. And they went down to the corner restaurant, John first, and years later, Jim, 2 years later. John went in and said, I want a job. I'm a good, hard worker, but I'm a Christian, and I go to church Wednesday night and Sunday, and I don't work on Wednesday and Sunday. And the owner said, well, I've never done it before, but I think that would mean you'd be an honest, good worker, so I'm going to give you the job. He ended up with keys to the restaurant and being their main cook. A couple years later, his brother came in, said the same thing, and they hired him too. Those boys worked their way through college at that same job because God honored them, saying, church first, God's house first is what's important. Now, my mom was a nurse. She had to take her shift and her turn of working Sunday. God understood that. She had 3 Sundays a month off. 1 Sunday a month, she had to take her turn. But my mom witnessed and talked to God to those patients on that Sunday as much as she could because it was not really allowed. But she wouldn't have taken a job where she had to do every Sunday. That's just the way that we say, my life is about God and what he's doing, and if I can't be in church, how can I be a part of it? So what's my life really about? Money? Security? God can do both. When seek ye first the kingdom of God, and these things shall be added unto you. Right. It's our priority again, preparing for your call, preparing for your future. If you want to be a doctor, you go to school for what, about 15 years? 8 years basic. And you would study hard, and you would pay a lot of money, and you would go to school, and you would take any job that fit that schedule. You would take the job that fit you getting that degree, because you really want to be a doctor. You don't want to flip burgers for the rest of your life. You want to flip burgers to get you through college so you can be a doctor. And that's what I'm saying. So you can be a minister, do whatever job you have to do, but remember why you're doing it. You're after your degree to be a minister, because that's your first calling. And I'm not just talking to any 900 people. I'm talking to the ones in this room that I know you. I know you have a call in your life. So God's not looking for a impulsive, momentary, I'm going to jump up today and then tomorrow walk away from my decision again. He's not looking for that. I think we're at a time, we're in the valley of decision about our life, about our faith, about our call, about our schedule. We're in a valley of decision about that. Everything we do outside of being part of the body of the church, the witnessing we do, Harvey witnesses everywhere he goes. And I know some of you do the same. But to truly be ready for what's coming, it has to be connected back to the church. It's going to be through the church. It's going to be through the church. God told me to call the people in, to call the church in. In my dream, vision, whichever it was, I called them in, but only a few came. The others, they went somewhere else. And it's okay, because maybe they went to what God's calling them to. Maybe he was calling them to a different church that has the same vision they have. But those that came in were the ones that he really began to bring into this deeper level of repentance and this freedom. But today's the day you need to choose. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near. In the valley of decision, we need to make a decision. Whether we're in here, whether in somewhere else, but be in wherever you need to be in and be involved and be there. Be faithful. Put this all in your hands, Father, and we just pray that your Holy Spirit will chase everybody home with these words and do whatever you want to do in each person through your power in us, because everyone in this room loves you. And we just want to know what you have to say to us individually. Wake us up. Stir us up. Lead us to this level of repentance, issue by issue. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.